We've been reporting on the explosion of opioid addiction, but also the accompanying clean needle exchange centers to help curb diseases like HIV and hepatitis. We've heard from a researcher who says needle exchanges, where addicts can turn in their used dirty needles for clean ones, definitely lower the rate of disease. Las Vegas has started using needle exchange vending machines. But some cities are shutting programs down. Charleston, West Virginia Mayor Danny Jones says his city's Kanawha County Exchange Program drew too many people. And despite being a recovering alcoholic and the father of a heroin addict, he wants it closed. Mayor Jones joins us. And Mr. Mayor, yesterday we heard from Ricky Bluthenthal, a professor of preventative medicine at the University of Southern California. He said the research is conclusive that needle exchanges work. What are you seeing?
Well, it became we have two needle exchanges in Charleston. One is operated by HealthRight, and they have 150 patients, and it's operated in a fashion that is correct. And they did so well, they operated under the radar. We didn't even know they were doing it. Then the Kanawha Charleston Health Department got in the business, and they just basically became a mill. And they were giving out 40 to 50,000 needles in a month. Now, if you go through 400 patients in one day, then there's no way you can check their blood before you give them the needles to find out if they have any disease before you give them the needles.
Well, but the health advocates who are backing this, first of all, they said they didn't expect, you know, this huge explosion, and it speaks to just how bad this crisis is. But you're right. They had 483 drug users pass through in just 8 hours one day. This is, you know, you only got, what, 50,000 people there. And they say that speaks to the need for people coming in to get these clean needles.
Well, except they came from 190 different zip codes, and we became a hub of activity. Now, to get the money to buy the drugs, the drug users have to break into somebody's car or cause crimes. Since we became a mecca for these folks, It wasn't a needle exchange, it was a needle mill, and crime in this city skyrocketed. So what we did was we imposed some rules on them that they had to live with that were very similar to the HealthRight rules. They couldn't live with them, they shut it down, and now the crime has gone way down in Charleston, West Virginia, because we were able to close that needle operation.
Well, let's talk about what your rules were. An ID requirement, so that people who were coming to get these clean needles had to prove that they lived in the county, picture ID. They had to be tested for hepatitis and HIV. That would be mandatory. Needles would only be dispensed on a strict one-for-one trade so that there wouldn't be any extras that people could maybe sell. But you all know that, you know, advocates, healthcare advocates, say that the ID in particular was prohibitive. Homeless people make up a huge population of these addicts. They don't have IDs. And the idea of limiting the clean needles, you know, means that maybe somebody can't give a clean needle to somebody who might need it. So you've got maybe another dirty needle being used. But I hear your point as well, that this was not only attracting this population, but it was in a place where you had just built a beautiful civic center, a $100 million development, and you hope to revitalize the city through that.
And this health department was just, it's a half a block away. The Civic Center hadn't been finished yet, but it became basically a mini mall for drugs. And if the drug dealers knew when the needles were going to be dispensed, when they were going to be given out, and that was all day on Wednesday, then the drug dealers were waiting in the shadows, and they were all through the neighborhood to sell drugs to the people that needed the drugs to put in the needles, that they just had to break into somebody's car to get the money to pay the drug dealer.
Well, what about the fact that this center would be, for many of these addicts, their only contact with healthcare? So that the thinking is, in addition to luring them in for the clean needles, they might also be able to talk to healthcare officials. They might get tested. They might maybe even get information about getting clean.
That's not what happened here. They only had a 1% rate of people going into recovery, where HealthRight, which is the one that I actually contribute my own personal money to, and they have a needle exchange, they have more like a 10% return rate on people that go into recovery. Mm-hmm. You see, when we have such an uptick in crime because of this needle situation in our city, they don't call some professor in Southern California. Mm-hmm. They call us. Since we shut down the Kanawha Charleston Health Department, or since they shut down their own needle operation, crime has dropped precipitously.
But what happens to the addicts?
Perhaps they went back to wherever they came from, maybe one of those 190 zip codes, or they could go down to HealthRight, where the entrance is a little more cumbersome, but they would be more likely to get into recovery, and they would be tested for disease before they go in. I don't know how you can quantify whether a person has hep C if you don't test them for it before you give them the needles.
Well, a couple things. A lot of bruised feelings in your city. There are people who feel that they were removed from certain committees because they weren't going to vote the right way. There are police and fire officers who are feeling like they aren't respected by the healthcare people because, as you said, there are concerns about the needles that are still around. You are retiring, and it feels like leaving a lot of bruised feelings behind.
I'm on the side of the policemen and the firefighters, and it's not
just
from
the health department.
No, it's from city council members, and some people that are members of the board of the health department. One of which is a council member and is a leading advocate for this. The doctor that started all this is no longer there. Mm-hmm. He became drug czar for the state. We're for Charleston, and we're going to advocate for it. And we would suggest that anybody that wants to be involved in a needle exchange go down to HealthRight. They have 25,000 patients there.
Well, I hear what you're saying. Is one solution to encourage other counties, other zip codes, to also have maybe smaller needle exchanges? In other words, have more of them. Don't put them next to a gleaming, you know, civic center that understandably is supposed to draw tourists and business to the area. Have smaller ones, but more of them outside the city?
You know, I'm sure you can find many academics that think this is a good idea, but it certainly didn't work out there near Angel Stadium in Southern California. And there are places they're shutting down around the country, and I wouldn't recommend it to anybody.
Well, you had a son who had a heroin problem, so obviously you care about this issue.
Of course I care.
So what can be done? I mean, clean needles are valuable.
If you really want to know, I mean, the drug companies got us into this mess when they flooded this state of all states with millions of these pills. So then they shut the pill mills down. They put the doctors in jail. They shut down the drug stores. And there was no plan B for the drug addicts. And that expense and whatever needs to be done for these folks should be incurred and paid for by the people that caused it. And if that meant that you would have prescribed drugs to wean people off that was administered by a hospital, that's something worthy of having a conversation about.
That's what you want, prescription heroin? For instance.
I would look at it. Yeah. I mean, I think that's something, if we're going to have a conversation about something, I mean, that's something that would open up a dialogue about something reasonable. Don't just give them the vessel and let them have to go out and buy it illegally. I mean, this should be handled by professionals. And if the academics really want to push something, maybe this could be experimented with around the country.
Yeah. How did your son? I mean, heroin's vicious. How did he?
Yeah, he was. I believe it started, without exposing myself to liability here, it started in his home, in the environment he was raised in, and it wasn't by me. I was not married to his mother, and in the environment where he was born in, drugs were readily available. And he told me later on that he started using drugs at a very early age. And then he had teeth problems, and he was able to get some pain medication. Mm. And I think he was off to the races then.
How did he stop?
Well, he stopped because he kept going to jail. I had him arrested twice. I have 160 police officers that work for me. And the last time, though, it wasn't police in this county. It was police in another county, and this is the third time he's been in front of a judge to plead guilty. But he's in recovery now, and he is, as I understand, he's doing okay. He's 28 years old. But you reach a point as a father of an addict, you can't let your whole world become a set of dominoes because you have a son. Life goes on for all of us. And I'll tell you, jail saved his life, which is sad.
And even though you wouldn't want your son to contract these diseases like HIV or hepatitis,
I don't know that he hasn't, Robin.
Well, but
I don't know that he, I don't know if he has or not.
But a clean needle,
I'm not willing to sacrifice a whole city to get involved in that enterprise. That's no way to tackle this. You don't sacrifice a whole city over this.
That's Danny Jones, mayor of Charleston, West Virginia. Boy, it's just your whole story is so telling of the reach of this crisis. Thanks, Mr. Mayor, for speaking with us.
Thank you.
So there were two needle exchanges in Charleston, one the nonprofit HealthRight, one the Kanawha County Health Department. We just suspended. A spokesperson told us that of the 4,000 clients they served, more than 150 sought recovery, which is just less than 4%, not the 1% that the mayor said. And the spokesperson also said there was screening for hepatitis C and HIV.